Welcome to the RD2B podcast. Each week we sit down with a different registered dietitian nutritionist to showcase the diversity of opportunity in the dietetics profession. Our aim is to dismantle the notion that there is a traditional career path. I'm Carl Barnes, the registered dietitian behind the scenes of RD2B.
And I am Jenna Warnock, the RD2B host. Our RD guests share their stories, career paths, and advice to help students like us succeed in the profession.
Welcome to the RDB2B podcast. I'm your host, Melissa. Today, we're chatting with Erica Grace, a regulatory scientist in the food industry. She holds a bachelor's in nutrition and dietetics and a master's in community nutrition from Westchester University in Pennsylvania. She's also a dietetic technician registered. As a regulatory scientist, she ensures adherence to FDA regulations for baked products like rolls, breads, and cakes. Her prior roles as nutrition labeling analyst and nutrition scientist, she's played roles in launching products like Well Yes Power Bowls and Veggie Goldfish. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, Erica.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
This is a really cool job. I think it's super cool, but I'm kind of food science nerdy. Could you share a little bit about your educational journey from, you know, getting your bachelor's to community and how it kind of shaped your career path?
Yeah, so I got my bachelor's in nutrition and dietetics from Westchester University of Pennsylvania. I graduated with that in 2016 and during my senior year, I also started taking graduate courses that was part of an accelerated master's program, and that's the master's in community nutrition. So I was able to complete my master's degree in just over a year. So I graduated with my master's in August 2017. And between the two is when I did a summer internship at Campbell Soup Company, and that's what introduced me into the food industry.
That's really cool, the accelerated program. So is that still a thing that Westchester offers?
I believe they still offer the accelerated program. They also have created a dietetic internship. So I'm not sure how that's quite working anymore. The program has definitely evolved quite a bit since I've left.
Yeah, there's a lot of new programs for dietetic internships. But when did you sit for your DTR?
I sat for my DTR exam in August of 2016. So it was actually right after my my Campbell's summer internship ended, I sat for the exam.
So how would you say that internship evolved your career in the food industry? Like starting as a nutrition labeling analyst to your current role as a regulatory scientist?
So during my internship, it was a whirlwind. There was a lot of different projects that I was supposed to be involved in and kind of get a taste of the nutrition side of the industry, but also some of the regulatory side. And within the first 2 weeks of my internship, the new nutrition labeling regulations were published in 2016, and that was for the new nutrition facts panel, which put added sugars on the label. It changed the required nutrients, so it became like vitamin D, potassium, calcium, and iron on the label. So all of those changes, those requirements came out during the second week of my internship. So suddenly my internship became very regulatory heavy and based on interpreting those regulations and assessing how it would affect the product portfolio. So after my internship ended, it wasn't common for nutrition interns to get a job right afterwards because a lot of the time people are either going into a dietetic internship or it's a small group, so there's not a lot of openings. But because these new regulations came out and they would have to transition all the products from the old label to the new, they needed some temps or contractors. And that's how I came on as a contractor, as a nutrition labeling analyst. So I was really focused on doing nutrition labeling. But during that time also got more involved in commercialization, which is basically taking a product from an idea to the shelf and everything that comes in between. So I got more involved in what the department was really doing and just continuously fell in love with the work. And I was like, this is where I want to be. I really love this. And at the same time, I was working my master's degree. So there were some days where I would like do half the day at Campbell's and then drive an hour to Westchester to work in the foods lab because I was a graduate assistant. So it was a bit crazy there for a while, but then eventually just was in Campbell's full time. After my 2-year contract, I was hired on full time, or permanently, I should say, into the nutrition department as a nutrition scientist. And that really, I wasn't focusing on nutrition labeling quite as much. It was more on that commercialization side. And I did that for 5 years. And during that time, I worked on Prego, SpaghettiOs, soup and broth. And I spent most of my time on soup and broth and then also worked in snacks a little bit. And then just this past fall, I transitioned into the regulatory team where I now work and manage label compliance for our fresh and frozen bakery business, which is Pepperidge Farm bread rolls, buns, frozen layer cakes, things like that. So kind of a big evolution through all of it. I've been on most sides of the portfolio except maybe beverage. So Campbell's also owns V8. So that's probably one of the only brands I haven't worked on. But it's been quite a journey. So it's been 7 years kind of collectively, and hopefully a lot more to come.
Yeah. Working as a graduate assistant and an intern, that's a lot. I feel like a lot of students right now, especially interns, can relate to that hustle. Fortunately, there are a lot of programs that are just online, you know, master's programs now since COVID, everything's kind of, but still the internships, it's a grind. And it sounds like you had to used or created a whole new skill set of like maybe marketing as well, since it's like commercial, like you're doing all kinds of different things, right? The marketing aspect as well.
Yeah, I definitely, one of the things I love about what I do is the cross-functional work. So working with marketing and legal, and when I was in nutrition, working as regulatory, and now that I'm in regulatory, working with nutrition. So a lot of different people, and product development, of course, they're the ones creating the food and making it. So a lot of exposure to different things and learning so many different pieces from people who are experts in their fields. So there's just so much to learn every day.
That's really cool. And that's great. I feel like that's what keeps it exciting in any job, really. And the frozen layer cakes, the Pepperidge Farms frozen layer cakes, are something that are nostalgic to me. Like that was always in my parents' fridge, the white cake with the coconut cream. Still love it. It's amazing. Those. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's awesome. yes. And I'm sure my dad still eats those and the chocolate cakes as well.
They're delicious.
They are. Some people don't, you know, some people sleep on them, but, so now as a regulatory scientist, can you walk us through like a typical day and, you know, highlight some of your key responsibilities?
Sure. So it's a lot of computer work and a lot of reading, reading regulations, talking to my team members, and making decisions, which is something I've never been super great at, is making decisions. So now it's like the pressure's on. But my days might vary between either creating label content or reviewing label content. And what that kind of looks like is interpreting analytical data in order to set the values in the nutrition facts panel, generating ingredient statements, so all the ingredients that are in the product, and making sure they're properly named and in the right order, things like that. And then pulling that all together in a document that also includes any claims or language on the label, substantiating that and validating it. I also make sure all the allergens are correct and making sure that's on there. And then other days I might be reviewing labels that have been created with that label content that I generated. So it's called a mechanical, but it comes through and I have to make sure all the information on it is correct and placed in the right places, that it measures the right size, things like that. And other days I am, you know, deep into reading the regulations, trying to solve a problem. Everything's like a little puzzle and I have to do a lot of digging most days. And that's one of the, that's one of my favorite parts. It's kind of always that constant learning piece. And so nothing super glamorous. Some days I do get to, you know, eat the food, whether it's like we're naming something and yeah. we want to make sure that the flavor that we're calling it is actually coming across. So I got to, you know, eat several different breads and things like that all in one sitting. So those are the fun days when you get to like actually get hands on and eat the food.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, yeah, that sounds all, there's so many different parts to it, but the big picture is like, this is something that is, you know, on every shelf in America's supermarkets, which is pretty cool. Which is pretty cool to think about.
I wish I could like put a little signature on the ones that I helped create.
Yeah. Yes, I would like, yeah, I agree with that. That would be really cool. So when you helped launch products like, well, yes, Power Bowls and Veggie Goldfish. So can you share some insights on the development process and commercializing those products?
Sure. So I did that when I was in my nutrition role, but I worked alongside my regulatory partner at that time. So I worked on Veggie Goldfish came before Well, yes, Power Bowls, but with that, they weren't out for very long. They've already been discontinued. They launched right when COVID hit, so it just wasn't a great timing.
The Veggie Goldfish, is that the Veggie Goldfish?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was like, I've never heard of these, so that's a bummer.
They were great. I mean, I'm biased, but my biggest part in that was helping substantiate a claim of a third a serving of veggies per serving of goldfish. So in that process, I was working with product development and doing calculations to make sure, to see how much of a vegetable powder do we have to put into the product to achieve that claim. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, making sure that it was delivering meaningful nutrition. So it's not just like a dusting of veggie powder and calling it Veggie Goldfish. Like we're putting enough in to deliver this amount of vegetables. And also there is a meaningful nutritional difference between regular goldfish and these. So that was a lot of spreadsheet work. It was a lot of calculations and a lot of teamwork with my product development partner. And that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that one a lot. And they launched nationally in March of 2020. So right when things shut down, people weren't really going to grocery stores anymore, or they were just buying, you know, toilet paper and paper towels.
Yes.
Not really getting goldfish at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved them. I thought they were great. And then the Belly-Ass Power Bowls, that's a soup in a microwavable bowl. And up front with that, marketing was like, they decided that they wanted to be able to say multiple claims on it. Also to be able to substantiate power, like what in this is making it power. And so on the nutrition side, alongside with regulatory, we came up with guardrails of what would mean power. So certain nutritional guardrails, certain meal components, things like that. And so as product development was creating the food, they would send me their recipes and I would assess them and build the recipes in our system so that I could see all the nutrition and what it looks like. And then if it wasn't quite hitting the vegetables, I'd go back and be like, hey, can you add more carrots? And then we'd get there. Or if we wanted to get a whole grain claim, you know, can you switch out this one for this one? So those were the ones I was most heavily involved with. And it was really that partnership between nutrition and regulatory and marketing and product development that made it so great. And the process is so long that by the time it gets on the shelf, I can't even remember when I actually started working on it because the timelines are so long. But it gets to the shelf and no one knows how much work went into it unless you've actually worked on it. So those are the times I want to stand in the aisle and be like, I made this.
Sort yeah.
of, you know, this is mine. It's
a sample lady in the grocery store.
Exactly. So that's always a really fun experience. It's different now that I'm on the regulatory side. It's not quite as involved, or at least like not yet, the projects that I'm working on. But yeah, so that's kind of a peek into the commercialization process.
Are you able to tell me what you and the company defined as power for the Power Bowls?
So it's a mix of meeting or delivering, we wanted to have like multiple positive nutrients. So like making sure fiber was at, like fiber and protein were two of the most important ones. We wanted to make sure those were at a specific level. And then also food group components. So, you know, making sure we were delivering at least a serving of vegetables and like a serving of whole grains. So because this was like an 11-ounce bowl, we wanted to make sure it was substantial. So
yeah.
It was all about like fiber, protein, and then a food, like two food groups.
Yeah, very nutrient dense and shelf stable, which is really awesome.
Yeah, I love that product.
Yeah, that's cool. I haven't tried it, but I want to now. I'm gonna try it. So you're also on the board of directors for the Pennsylvania Academy as the NDTR chair. So how has that role impacted your professional development, and what kind of projects or initiatives are you working on?
I'd say the way it has impacted my professional development most is really the having connections with other nutrition professionals who are in the industry and having that exposure across the board. And because once you're in industry, you get kind of into this bubble where it's like just industry people, and you lose, at least I kind of lost sight of what other people are doing. And so I get to connect with and network with people who work in clinical or work in food service and things like that. I've met a lot of really great people being on the board. And as the NDTR chair, I come from a unique spot being in industry because there's not a whole lot of TRs within industry. There's one other one on the nutrition team at Campbell's, and then I know of one who works for Wawa Corporate, which Wawa is like a regional, like convenience store type. And when I saw that there was an NDTR working there, I thought that was the coolest thing. I was like, oh my gosh, finally, like another one is it in like an industry role. But so I, as like the DTR chair, I don't quite represent the mass of DTRs. So I last year had a town hall where DTRs from Pennsylvania all joined to basically bring any thoughts or concerns so that I could adequately bring their voices to the broader group to make sure they're being heard. I also started a feature of a Pennsylvania DTR on the socials and the newsletter. So I've done two so far. I want to do more. I've been on the board since 2019, and those first few years were a little like wasn't quite sure what I was supposed to do. And within the past couple of years, I've been getting more involved, and I have signed on for at least another year. So I hope to do more spotlighting of DTRs because we kind of get, I don't want to say forgotten, but there's a lot less focus. And I feel really passionate about making sure DTRs are heard and, you know, acknowledged and lifted up. So that's a lot of my goal as I continue.
How do the DTRs that you spotlight in Pennsylvania, how do they get selected? Do they get nominated or apply?
So I just put out from like the distribution, like the contact list that I can get through the Academy. I actually can get it through someone gets it for me from the CDR, so I can actually get it for people who are and aren't members in Pennsylvania, but they're DTRs.
Okay.
So I just put out like an email to them, and I was like, if you want to be featured,
yeah,
and you want to talk about you and you want the spotlight mm-hmm. on you, let me know. I didn't have that many people respond. So I have to put it out again and see or ask anybody if they want to nominate somebody else. But it was like self-nomination.
Okay.
First time
around. I mean, most people do like to talk about themselves. So I'm surprised that more people didn't respond. So, you know, if there's any listeners to this, hopefully they'll kind of spread the word we can link something in the blurb on YouTube about it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you have any advice for any aspiring food scientists or students interested in the industry?
I think, so in, at least in my undergrad program, I didn't really hear about industry jobs. The only way I knew about the Campbell's internship was because I had a professor and mentor who had a connection with the program at Campbell's and was like, here, apply for this. And I was like, I don't even know what do I even do? I thought I was going to be in a plant, like in a factory, like testing sodium. I had no clue what I was going to be doing. I think opportunities like this where I get to talk about what it is really like is great. So, and I've like gone back to Westchester and given presentations about it as well. But one of the biggest things, especially if you're into the food science side of it, but as well as nutrition, look for internships and co-ops with food companies, because there's quite a few. You might have to like relocate for a summer, or depending on the co-op, like 6 months or something. But because it really depends if there's a one near you. Like Campbell's happens to be, you know, 30 minutes for me. Didn't know it was there until I worked there the whole time. But I know, I think ConAgra, they have internships. Hershey does them. Definitely keep an eye out for internships and co-ops, and that's probably the best way to get your foot in the door and really get a taste of what it's like and if it's somewhere you want to be. I know at Campbell's, a lot of our food science co-ops do end up getting positions, whether it's like a temporary position or they come on full time. But it's a lot of good exposure, and having that experience is unique. So, and it helps you get in the door other places as well.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen emails of Pepsi internship, Jack in the Box as well. So I know that there's a lot out there, which is really cool. You never really think about it. But like you said, when you think about like the food industry being a nutrition professional in it, you're like, is it, you think of like a plant, like a factory plant, and it's just completely, there's just so much more than that to it. So much more involved. But I think it's really cool that a really cool job to have. I see, YouTubers like that are food scientists break down, things, and it's just like so cool. It should be brought up more in school, I believe, because it's a great way to segue, to get into nutrition. So there's been a lot of changes in like nutrition labeling and regulatory compliance. So, what are like some emerging trends or challenges that you find interesting or noteworthy?
I'd say one thing that is kind of always been sticking around and has for a while is gut health. That's one that people are definitely concerned about and want products that focus on those things. So you probably see a lot of products put out there that have some sort of gut health halo to them. So that's something that there's always kind of work going on behind the scenes for that sort of thing, and sort of functional ingredients as a whole. So unique ingredients that serve a purpose or a health benefit, and any sort of related claims to those. So I can't think of any like specifically off the top of my head, except like I remember conversation like hearing things about like ashwagandha like being used in products and talking about the functions of that. But the challenges around that is that there aren't like regulated claims around it. And so you have to kind of create your own substantiation and work with regulatory and legal to decide like, can we talk about this? What's the risk? So that's one of the biggest challenges is sort of what's trending and what do consumers want to see and how much can we really say without, kind of going overboard. So that's not contentious, but sometimes just a challenge in the relationship between like marketing and research and development between those things. So a lot of things around functional ingredients and I mean health in general, that's a big one. FDA is currently working on the new definition for healthy. A lot of people don't know there is a definition for healthy, a regulated one. They put out a proposed rule about it couple years ago now. It wasn't last year, maybe it was 2022. And then the final rule is expected to be published, I think, next month. So that will be, it's a pretty different definition from where it is now, but that's
That's
something we're waiting for to see how that will impact our products that currently say healthy on them,
right. Yeah.
and like future development.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of trends, gut health, inflammatory foods, things like that. But those nutritional supplements aren't necessarily regulated, right? So you can't really back up any claims.
Yeah, it's really, there's a lot of like towing lines, and also like, has this ingredient been approved to be used in food, things like that. And sometimes you'll see companies use an ingredient and say like pretty wild things about it. And it's like, I don't know if it's actually doing that. Campbell's has a tendency to be pretty conservative about what we say. That is can be tough sometimes because marketing's like, well, they said it, and it's like, we're not going to, because we have we're buttoned up, and we have a
I
lot
mean,
of strong regulatory professionals.
it's safer for the consumer too, I think.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, that's what's important, I think. So that's probably best. But I could see where marketing would like have no idea. They're
Yeah,
marketing.
we had to be the bad guys sometimes and be
Yeah.
like, we can't say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
Balance.
So how do you, I guess that kind of answered it. So how do you ensure that the products and labeling stay within the FDA regulations and standards? You just have to.
We have like a regulatory team, then there's a government affairs team that is always staying abreast of the current regulatory environment. So anytime FDA or USDA is putting out new guidance, also looking at state regulations of there's a lot of states right now that are trying to ban certain ingredients, so we keep an eye on those because how far is that going to go across the country? Will it become federal? Things like that. I think California has just passed where they banned like Red 3 and a few other ingredients, and then several other states have similar bills. So we're always kind of watching that and trying making sure that we know what's going on. We get like email alerts anytime FDA publishes anything. And then also being part of trade associations. So there's basically groups that represent the industry. So multiple companies will be under this one group, and they kind of watch the environment as well and help make comments as the broader industry about those things, if there's like a proposed regulation that is requesting comment. So always trying to stay on top of it because there's always something. I
Yeah,
just
I'm
saw
sure.
there was just a in January there was a bill introduced in Indiana that wants to ban high fructose corn syrup. So that
Okay.
one, it hasn't gone anywhere yet. But like that's something we're keeping an eye on, because
Yeah.
if that were the case, that would impact some of our products. But yes, there's always having to keep track of not only the state stuff, but the federal. That's why our government affairs team really focuses on that. But then regulatory is off, like works closely with them to make sure we know what's going on and making sure we're keeping our products compliant.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense that there would be a whole group of employees that specifically deal with that, because I'm sure there's a lot, and these products are, sent everywhere. Are they sent outside of the United States as well, right?
Yeah, we do have some, we have some products that are made in Canada, and some are that are made in like Mexico and other Latin American countries. And then we do also export to some countries. So I'm not sure what all of them are. But mostly like our snacks products on the snack side, like I don't know which ones are exported exactly. But they kind of go all over. So the vast majority of our stuff is just in North America, but there is some stuff that goes overseas in other places.
in the international aisles of their food stores,
Yeah, probably.
right? Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Never thought of it that way, but yeah, probably.
Yeah, because you see like Heinz baked beans, which is like something I think of when I think of like England and our international or like clotted cream and things like that. So
Yeah.
that's interesting. Are there any memorable experiences or lessons you've learned through your career that have influenced the way you approach work?
There's been a lot. Because I started in the industry when I was 22 years old, and I just turned 30 a couple weeks ago. So it's like wild to think how much growth I've
Wow.
personally had and
Yeah.
how much I've learned along the way and growing up with the company. But probably one of the most recent things since I've come into my latest role, it's been a learning curve. I was super comfortable for the last 7 years with my nutrition group, and now I am with a new group that, I've always kind of worked with, but now it's, I'm fully engulfed in that. But I went from being the expert in what I was doing to now being like the new kid. Like I feel like the intern again. Except I have a lot more knowledge and like a decent basis. But there's still so much to learn and so much that I didn't even realize. And I'm afraid of messing up because now it matters a lot more because like I'm making decisions that go out there. But my boss said something while I was, kind of onboarding. She said, it's not a matter of if you mess up, but when you mess up. She was like, because you're not going to be perfect and nobody is, and we're all going to mess up. But you have the entire team's support behind you and you'll learn from it and grow from it. And that was super comforting coming in because I was like, I cannot mess this up. But knowing that, I can make mistakes and it's gonna happen as much as I would like to think I won't. It's one of the biggest lessons has really been like get uncomfortable and be uncomfortable. That's the only way you're gonna grow. I'm really bad at being uncomfortable. So this has been a big growth experience for me.
Yeah, I get that. That's really sweet and supportive that your supervisor, your boss said that. That's great. You said earlier that you have a hard time making decisions, and I can relate to that because I don't want to be wrong. So I don't want to be the executive decision maker. But I feel like how many times do you actually make a decision and it's like not okay, like it's, but you just remember that and you get like worked up about that. So
Well, and
I
like I've realized as I've grown in my career, sometimes people just make decisions. They don't like harp on it for days. And I remember like a specific point when I was a contractor still that my like main mentors were both on maternity leave. So I was kind of flying solo. And someone asked me a question about it was something related to carrots and like vitamin A levels. And I was like, yeah, how about this? And like just made this decision. And I was like, is this what adulthood is? It like, is this what professionals do? They just kind of make a decision. That was such a turning point for me. So I was like, wow, I just made a decision without someone, guiding me in it. So sometimes you
Yeah,
just gotta do it.
it seems like some people are just like, yeah, that's fine, just do it, just do it. I work in the medical field currently, and people, doctors, other technicians, they just I'm like, yeah, let's just do this right now. I'm like, no, don't you need to ask someone else? Like
And I'm always looking for the adult in the room, and then I'm like, I'm the adult in the
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I get that completely.
It never goes away.
Yeah, and I'm gonna start my dietetic internship this summer, and that's one of those, that's the main thing, because I need to just keep reminding myself, like, I'm credentialed, I know what I'm talking about usually. So
yeah, we have to stop doubting ourselves. Yeah. And like, we're doing all this schooling, we know yeah. things, we put the work in. So
it also just helps to know that you're supported by your coworkers and, you know, uppers and everything, and that they know that, you know, everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah.
So lastly, what do you see as the future of food science and nutrition, and how do you see your role evolving in response to those changes?
It's unpredictable, because I know, like, a couple years ago we were like, plant-based is the future. Like, these companies that make burgers that, you know, look right. like regular burger, like, we thought that was it, and now those companies aren't doing great. So it's kind of crazy to see that sort of thing. So it's hard to say, like, what will the future be. Right now, like, AI is getting bigger, and sort of how do we use that to make decisions about innovation or things like that. When it comes to sort of my role, as regulations continue to change, with right now there's such a focus on health and wellness and programs like that, it's job security, because we always have to kind of be on top of those. And so that's, it's always going to be changing with regulations, and as sort of health and wellness trends get bigger, finding ways to be compliant but also keep up with the times and remain competitive in the market will kind of be how it keeps going. I think there's always going to be room for food scientists in the industry. Someone's got to make the food. Nutrition's getting more important. There's a lot of attention and, quite frankly, scrutiny around processed food right now, and I could see that getting bigger. So it could go one or two ways of for nutrition, whether it means we need more people to be able to come in and either change the products or find ways to communicate what's really happening behind the scenes and kind of the science. So I think it's such kind of like a volatile environment right now that the industry is going to keep changing with it, and the nutrition regulatory and food science roles are going to have to keep going, keep it evolving with it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you were saying, Red 3 and California being banned, and possible bills on the floor in Indiana about high fructose corn syrup. And so, yeah.
We're going to have to keep finding, you know, solutions for that. Sodium reduction is a huge initiative, because their FDA has voluntary sodium reduction targets that something Campbell is definitely prioritizing. And, you know, salt makes food taste good.
Yeah.
So what do we do to keep food tasting good while also reducing sodium? So there's, as all of that continues to change, there's always going to be challenges to find ways to keep up. So yeah, definitely.
Definitely job security. And you're always on your toes.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the nutrition field, like, there's so many jobs, there's so many different careers you could do. I feel like it's just only going to get more and more, just because people are more health aware, and, you know,
It's definitely
reaching
evolving. And I like the nutrition curriculum and the internship is still very heavily clinically focused. And I think as jobs get more diverse and people are finding different opportunities of how to use their credentials, I think programs will have to start evolving to keep up with it because there's so much more going on out there. And
for sure, I
as
agree.
We get into the days and age of things like AI, you know, gotta be savvy to that. So I'll be curious to see how it continues along the way.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all your information and chatting with us today. I enjoyed talking to you. And I know that this will be a really unique podcast for our listeners. And so thank you.
I'm always happy to talk about what I do and, you know, make it more known that this is an option. And it's a really cool one. So I hope more people feel inspired to look that route. And yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, awesome. No problem.